Hallelujah. Who's willing to give themselves to Jesus Christ tonight? Hallelujah. Who's willing to give themselves to Jesus Christ tonight? Hallelujah. If you wouldn't mind standing just for a moment while we read the word of the Lord, we're going to turn to the book of Acts chapter 2. I think most of you know where that is. Probably been there once or twice. And we're going to read the first 6 verses and then verse 12. Amen. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Ask me, say this, what does this mean? You may be seated. The people ask, what does this mean? Look at verse 14 through 17. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Say, this is that. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Say, all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Say, sons and daughters. And your young men shall see visions. Say, young men. And your old men shall dream dreams. Say, old men. There you go. Verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the promise, the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this. Say this. Say, this is that. He hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Praise God. The people asked him, what does this mean? And one thing is clear, that Peter said, this is that. And he closed his message, or partway through the message, he clarified that what you see and hear here is the outpouring of the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Ghost. Ask me, what does this mean? Well, that's what they asked Peter, and he said, that means God is doing something different on this day of Pentecost. Amen. Now, you may have heard much of what I'm about to say at camp from Brother Bernard. If you were in Voces Unidas today, you heard more of what I'm going to say today. But I just found it interesting that I started studying this passage of Scripture the week before camp, and I was really interested in it. And I was putting together a message for Voces Unidas, which I wasn't able to teach on Tuesday night. Went to camp, and then Brother Bernard taught my message up at camp. And I just couldn't get away from it for today. So you're getting probably the third version of this same idea. But I believe it's very important that we understand that this is that. What does this mean? It means God is ushering in a new age. That was Peter's answer. God is starting something different. He was speaking to a Jewish audience, and they knew the scripture. So when he quoted the prophecy from Joel, it meant something to them, more than what probably it would to most of the American population that are here. This is that. What he was telling them is, this is what we've been looking for. Praise God. God's pouring out his Spirit. Now, you may be here tonight, and maybe the first time, maybe the 10th time, but you're still not sure about this Pentecostal thing that happens here in this building. You may ask yourself, what does this mean? Why are these people doing these things? Somebody asked me, what does this mean? This means that the Bible prophecy was being fulfilled on that day of Pentecost. But it also means that this, what we're doing here tonight, this, what we experience here in worship, this, what we're going to see at the end of this message when people are down here praying and being touched by God, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Amen. This is history from the book of Acts being reenacted right here in this building. This is that. Amen. This is proof that God's Holy Spirit has been poured out upon all flesh. Everyone say all flesh. This is proof that God's Holy Spirit is being poured out here tonight. This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. And this is that which happened on the day of Pentecost. Amen. This, what you are seeing and hearing here tonight, is that which happened on the day of Pentecost in the Bible. This, what you are experiencing, what you're feeling here, is the presence of God, the same power and presence of God that was poured out on thousands of people on that day of Pentecost. Ask me, what does this mean? This means that this is the same Holy Spirit. The same experience. The same God. The same power that they experienced on the day of Pentecost is the same power that's resident in those that have already been filled. The same power that filled the apostles and their friends to overflowing, that caused them to go out into the street and speak with tongues that they never learned. This is that. That's what this means. This is the same Holy Spirit. This is the same message that we're preaching here today that Peter the Apostle preached on the day of Pentecost. That's what this means. The same Jesus, the same repentance, the same baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. This is that. This is the same Pentecostal experience that those 120 people experienced, and the same message that they shared with the thousands that gathered around. This, which you are seeing and hearing tonight, this thing happening right here is the same thing. Somebody asked me, this means God is alive. This means Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. This means we can all have our sins forgiven and washed away in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This means that we can all, every one of us here tonight, be filled with God's Holy Spirit to overflowing with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. This means each one of us here can start a new life. I said each one of us here tonight can start a new life before we leave this place. Amen. Somebody ask me, some people want to know, does this mean I have to speak in tongues? Well, let me answer that by answering some other questions that might be more important. One question we should all ask is the same question that they asked on the day of Pentecost. Peter preached a message there, and he told them all about Jesus and how the fact that Jesus was the God manifest in the flesh, and that he was crucified and that he rose from the dead. And we read the end of that where he said, this same Jesus has poured out this promise of the Holy Ghost. And when he was done telling them about that, those people that were gathered around there said, "Men and brethren, what should we do?" So that's really the question you should be asking by the time we're done here tonight is, what should I do? What that really meant is, what do I need to do to get right with God? What do I need to do in order to go to heaven? That's the question that we're really asking when we ask, do I have to speak in tongues? Or, men and brethren, what should I do? It's really the same question, only if we ask God, what do you want me to do? We get a much better answer. Acts 2:38, in the middle of that message, at the end of that message, says that we need to repent. Somebody asked me. To repent means to be sorry for your sin. And to ask God to forgive you and to commit yourself to live a changed life by the power that he gives you. Amen. Peter said, repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. Somebody ask me. To be baptized in Jesus' name means that you're going to go all the way down in the water, dunked, plunged, whelmed, until every part of you is underwater, buried in the name of Jesus Christ. And the person who does it will say, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Somebody ask me. The remission of sins means that your sins are being remitted. They're being forgiven. They're being washed away. What that means is that no matter what you have done before you came into this place tonight, no matter what kind of life you live, no matter what kind of trouble you've had, no matter what kind of situation you are in, if you will repent from your sin and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, you can go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ and have all of your sins washed away, cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered. Peter said, if you're baptized in Jesus' name, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody ask me. To receive the gift of the Holy Ghost means that God's own Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will come and dwell inside of you and give you. Jesus said, wait here until you be endued with power from on high, for you shall receive the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That means he will come and give you the power that you need to live the life that he's calling you to live. Praise God. And when that happens, you will speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Somebody ask me. To speak in other tongues means to speak in a language that you never knew by the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to make it happen. You just let the Spirit take over and speak through you. Praise God. That's a promise from God. But how do I receive the Holy Ghost? Well, you come and find a place to pray, and you ask God for forgiveness, you repent like I explained, and then once you have turned all of your heart and your life over to him, you lift your hands and worship him and allow him to be your God. And before you know it, the words that you're speaking in honor and praise of him will turn into a language that you never knew. It'll just flow right out of you, and your life will be changed forever. Praise God. But I think there's more to this passage than this is that. There's more to it. We as Pentecostals, we want to point to the fact that Peter's talking about the Holy Ghost when people ask him about speaking in tongues. And I believe that. I believe absolutely that's what he's saying. He's saying, what you see in here, these people shouting and jumping and running and acting like Pentecostals on Sunday night, speaking in tongues, this is that. The Holy Ghost that Joel promised. But I think there's more to it than that. It's more than just about speaking in tongues. It's more than just about receiving the Holy Ghost. Look at the things that Peter said would happen. Look at the things that he said are going to happen according to the prophecy of Joel. He said that the Spirit of God will be poured out on all flesh. Everyone say all flesh. He said that the sons and daughters would prophesy. He said also that young men would see visions and old men would dream dreams. I told Vosis and Anita this afternoon, that the old men are not dreaming dreams because they're falling asleep. Okay? Most of them, anyway, are not. Every place where this word is used in the New Testament, where it identifies this word dream, it is always used in conjunction with the story that is God giving a dream to someone to give them information or direction. Young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams. And your men servants and your maid servants will prophesy. Praise God. There's a lot going on there. All these promises. And to some degree, all of these things have happened historically. And they're happening today. But look at verses 19 and 20 again. It's a little different there, that passage. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor and smoke. I mean, we have some bad weather here in Wisconsin from time to time, but I haven't seen all that happen. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. I know we've had what we call a blood moon, but I'm promising you that when this happens, it'll be a little different. It's going to be a worldwide event, and everybody's going to be aware of it, but it hasn't happened yet. So Peter said that this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. But all of these things are included in that. So Peter was saying a little more than this speaking in tongues is the Holy Ghost. I believe that what Peter was trying to get across to his Jewish audience was the fact that this is a brand new thing. That God has started a new age, that the world is changed, that things will never be the same again because God has poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. Praise God. We don't understand. It's like living in water all of your life. You don't realize what it's like to be out of the water. We've been in this Holy Ghost atmosphere since the day we were born. Since the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has been moving on all flesh, all over the world, all the time. We live in the age of the Holy Ghost. There's a Holy Ghost environment. Now, not everybody recognizes it. Not everybody feels it. Not everybody responds to it. But on that day, in that place, and all around the world, God changed everything. He didn't just change those 120. He changed the world. All flesh. Praise God. The world forever after was changed. I believe the same thing happened the day that Jesus Christ died on the cross on Calvary. Something was different in the spirit world. Everything changed. And then the day when Jesus rose from the dead, I'm telling you, Old Testament saints came up out of the grave and walked the streets on that day. I think that's a little different. Peter was telling them, we have entered into a new age, a new era. God is going to deal with humanity in a way he never has before. Praise God. The blood and fire and vapor, all the stuff in the skies, we haven't seen that yet. He was telling those Jewish believers that things will never, all flesh. One of the points of this message was that to them that meant not just the Jews. Now, I don't think they got it. And Brother Bernard talked about this at camp. I don't think Peter even understood what that meant. He's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And as far as they were concerned, it meant, you know, all us God-fearing, God-believing Jewish people. But the message that Joel was giving and that Peter became aware of later on was that all flesh meant everybody. Jews and Gentiles alike, people that lived in Africa and people that lived in Asia and people that lived all around the world, God was pouring out his Spirit. Listen, You may not even believe in God, but you've been living in a Holy Ghost age, and as a result, you've been experiencing blessings that they didn't get in the Old Testament. It's a new age, a new phase in God's revelation. Look down through the pages of history. Read through your Bible and you'll see a revelation of God. Little bit by little bit, he reveals more and more of himself until he reaches the place where he can actually offer the sacrifice for the sins of his creation and allow us to enter into his holy presence. All flesh, sons and daughters, your sons and daughters, you know, the Jewish culture, the people who understood the scripture and taught the scripture and had the religious authority were those that were the learned ones. They had a Sanhedrin council, and they had leaders and teachers. They taught their children, but their children did not have any spiritual authority or power to operate. But here in this new age, in this new time, he said, your sons and daughters are going to prophesy. It's not just a couple of prophets that are going to speak to all of Israel, but your own children are going to be filled with God's Spirit and speaking in other tongues and prophesying and sharing the Word of God. Now here's the thing that really gets me is that young men shall have visions and the old men shall dream dreams. Now, don't we normally do that the other way around? Isn't it the young men that are supposed to dream dreams? Didn't you have a... I'm not telling you how old I am. You can figure it out some other time. But there's a lot of dreams I had 20 or 30 years ago that they just haven't quite happened yet. Praise God. But isn't that what we usually associate with the dreams is when you're young? You know, he's a dreamer. Follow your dreams. Make your dream come true. And it's supposed to be the older people that have the vision. I see what you're up to. But God flipped it around. Yeah, I'm doing something different, God said. I think, personally, I haven't been able to study it out enough to prove it, but my personal feeling is that God meant these two things to go together, that this prophecy has those things together, that he wanted us to understand that the young men will have visions and the old men will dream dreams, that this is the, they rely on each other, that they go together. They have to both contribute their part. And then last of all, manservants and maidservants. I believe that's talking about people of all classes. I said people of all classes. Now, here in the United States, we have this ideal, this image that we live in a classless society. But just think about our political system and try and explain to me how this is a classless society. Just think of our educational system and try and explain to me how this is a classless society. But God promised that it doesn't matter where you are on the socioeconomic scale. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're powerful or if you're a laborer or if you're a servant or whatever. All flesh. Praise God. Somebody asked me. It means that these are the things that happen when God's Spirit is being poured out. I'm going to say that again. This is what happens when God's Spirit is being poured out. I didn't say this is what happened when God's Spirit was poured out. I said is being poured out. How do you know if God's Spirit is at work? Praise God. You know, we usually judge the outpouring of God's Spirit by how excited we are at church. You know, I was full of the Holy Ghost because, boy, was I fired up. Now, that's not bad. That's not wrong. Or we count the number of people that got the Holy Ghost or the number of people that got baptized. I think those are good things. I think we need to emphasize that. We need to stress that. I hope that we have several people, many people who are baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost this very night. You know, you can be filled with God's Holy Spirit before you leave here tonight. We measure the worship service and how people respond or how many people come to the altar or how many people are crying or how many boxes of Kleenexes are emptied or whatever. Or how hoarse our voice is after a week at camp. Oh, it was a great camp. Can't still, I can hardly talk. But God said, this is the thing that's going to happen when I pour out my Spirit. He said, you're going to see all flesh. You're going to see everybody, every race, every culture, every people receive this baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's how we know God's pouring out a Spirit. How do we know God's pouring out a Spirit? When our sons and daughters are prophesying. You go over to the Sunday school one time. You go to junior camp and see what's happening there. And you can hear the sons and the daughters prophesy. Praise God. Young men seeing visions and old men dreaming dreams. That's how you know the Holy Ghost is being poured out. When there's a communication. When there's a working together of the generations. Servants and workers. Now, we don't like to use this phrase, but it's appropriate in this context. But we're people, lower class, if I can use that term, lower socioeconomic class people are prophesying. You look down through church history where people didn't have the Holy Ghost and they had church, and you'll see a very, very structured class system in place in every church structure that exists in the course of history. But you know, when this Holy Ghost Pentecostal movement started in the early 1900s, it wasn't the rich and powerful, it wasn't the wealthy and the educated that started receiving the Holy Ghost and started this message. Praise God. This movement started on the other side of the tracks. It wasn't meant to stay there, but that's where God found people. Somebody ask me. Praise God. If you want to find out where God is working, if you want to find out where God is moving, if you want to find out where the Holy Ghost is being poured out, if you want to be part of the end time revival that God is bringing about, then let's go find places where God's sons and daughters are prophesying, where the Holy Spirit is being poured out upon all flesh, where the servants and the handmaidens are prophesying, and where young men have vision and old men are dreaming dreams. This means that God is now pouring out His Spirit because we see this happening. This here, what's happening here, is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Praise God. You're in a place where the very things that God promised to do in the end times, He's doing them here and now. Praise God. You see, that last passage that we read in that prophecy talks about things that are going to happen at the end of the church age, at the end of the Holy Ghost period. It could start next week. Who knows? We don't know the time clock of prophecy. But I do know that God is still pouring out His Spirit. He's still doing the things that He promised. And He's doing them right here. Amen. All flesh. That means every time that phrase is used in the Bible, it means everywhere. All humans everywhere, all of humanity. That's what that phrase really means. Every time it's used in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the emphasis is on the humanity as opposed to the Spirit. Every type of person. Every person in every situation. It's not used in any other way. And like I said, Peter and the apostles, they kind of missed that at first. But gradually, God had to reveal to them that, yeah, I'm talking about Samaritans. I'm talking about he had to break down racial barriers. He had to break down cultural barriers that they had placed to prevent them from interacting with other people. Praise God. You think that God's gonna have sections in heaven? Like, you know, the Americans are over here, and the Russians are over here, and the Latin Americans are over here, and the Spanish speakers are here, and the African Americans will be here, and we're all gonna be together in one place. Hallelujah. All flesh, say all flesh. Amen. I've got all kinds of statistics here about, we have a African immigrant service every Sunday afternoon. We have a Spanish, English bilingual service every Sunday afternoon. We do outreaches all around the city. We're trying to reach all flesh. But we overlook the fact that there are people from all around the world just right outside our door. Praise God. Now, the world uses the term multicultural, and it becomes a political club. And people use it as a lever to get what they want out of the system. That's not what God has in mind at all. He means us to all come together. And the Bible says that we are made one by His Spirit. So we don't separate into groups necessarily each group try to maneuver and get their own way. No, we're all one body. Hallelujah. And I asked Moses and Anita today, just pray. Everyone pray that you at one person each day you can talk to about Jesus Christ, about the gospel. And I said if we pray, he'll put us in place to minister to somebody. So let me say amen. Praise God. But the thing is, you know, they might not look like you. They might not look like you in the way they dress, or they might not look like you in the color of their skin, or they might not look like you in the way they wear their hair. Because God's not worried about all that. He's looking for souls. He's reaching people where they live. He's trying to meet them at their need. Say all flesh. Praise God. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. I already talked about that. Look around here. There are young people. You look over here, we see these teenagers worshiping and praising God. We have a youth camp with hundreds of young people every year. They come together, and the power of God falls in a great way. We have junior camp where hundreds of little kids, children come and they worship God and they receive the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. Some of them are preaching. Some of them are teaching. They're ministering to others. You see them at the altar praying for other children and even praying for adults. Our sons and daughters are prophesying. Praise God. God's Spirit is being poured out. We are in the last days. We are in the middle of an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. And if you want to be a part of it, all you need to do is step forward and let God touch you. Amen. Praise God. The point I'm trying to make here is that we are experiencing the day of Pentecost right here, right now. Young men and old men, this is the thing I really wanted to wrap my head around. This is the thing I really wanted to get into in depth. I don't think I'll have time, but here's I believe, where we're at. As what we are seeing in the world around us and in the church, we're seeing a generational shift take place. It's not just in the church, but especially in the church, it's taking place. There's a generational shift, and there's a cultural shift. God is pouring His Spirit out upon. the only reason God's allowing all of that to happen is so that he can pour his Spirit out upon all flesh. So he's trying to break down cultural barriers and bring people in from every walk of life, every age group, every cultural group, because these are the last days. And pretty soon that last paragraph, that last passage is going to take place. George Barna breaks it down like this. The elders are those that were born between 1945 and earlier. I won't ask you to identify yourselves. The baby boomers, and you know, you can argue with these time spans, but the baby boomers are those that were born between 1946 and 1964. How many baby boomers do we have? Why don't you stand up? Us boomers, we're proud to be boomers. You know, we know the elders were the greatest generation, but we boomers, we still think we're the coolest generations. And then it says there are the busters or the Gen Xers. And that's those that were born between 1965 and 1983. 1965 and 1983. All right, stand up, Xers. Yeah, give me a hand. And who can tell me who's next? Say it loud. Yeah, stand up, millennials. All right, now, did you notice which group made the most noise? Did anybody notice that? Just saying. Amen. The baby busters, an examination of the behavior and beliefs of adults born after the boomer generation, those born from 65 to 83, showed that there has been a lot of realignment taking place within this segment. Their Bible reading has grown. A lot of it is positive that the baby busters increased by 9 percentage points. Their volunteer at church, they climbed by 9 percentage points. They're volunteering at churches. The proportion of unchurched busters, those who had not attended church the past 6 months, grew by 8 percentage points. So on the other hand, they're getting more active, but they're not attending church necessarily. And then the baby boomers. No generation has been widely chronicled as the baby boomers, a post-war group born from 46 to 64. At every stage of their existence, this generation has redefined America's ways of life, including its faith and spirituality. Now, the Bible says that the old men shall dream dreams. Praise God. If I believe that pretty much describes the effect of the baby boomers. Okay. Four underappreciated traits of millennials. Now, the reason I did this is because there's always this little undercurrent that's going on, and I'm a part of it. I recognize it. I know I do this. But there's this undercurrent that takes place between the boomers and the millennials. Did you hear that? The millennial said, amen. The Pew Research Center's 2010 report on the millennials, A Portrait of the Generation Next, says this, that there are four underappreciated traits of millennials. Number one is that they're aspirational. That means they take up all the air in the room. No, that's not true. The authors of the Pew Report wrote that millennials are on track to become the most educated generation in American history. College has been a critical part of their education, and millions of these young people are getting master's degrees. At 80 million strong, the millennials are now the largest generation in the U.S. labor force, and they are motivated by different factors than older generations. Say aspirational. Now here's a shocker, this next one. This character trait is confidence. That's not the word most boomers use to describe it. Millennials were educated in a way that taught them to vigorously defend their ideas. Hence, they appear bold and confident, and they're likely to challenge the status quo. While this can come across as conceited, their determination helps them excel in the workplace, particularly when working on something that matters to them. Yeah, I heard someone say a different word. It starts with an A. Yeah. Okay, connected and tech savvy is the third. The Pew Report affirmed that millennials are history's first always connected generation, steeped in digital technology and social media. And the fourth is that they are open to change. The authors of the Pew Report wrote that millennials are more ethnically and racially diverse. Did I say all flesh? More ethnically and racially diverse and tolerant than older adults. Millennials are made up of a higher percentage of Black, Hispanic, and female workers, as well as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning workers when compared to older generations. This translates into greater tolerance and a knack for getting along with others. Praise God. Young men shall see vision, and the old men shall dream dreams. I believe that we just described from these reports the age that we're living in. Hallelujah. I believe that the boomers and the elders, they really do have an understanding of some things that maybe the millennials haven't seen yet. But I think the boomers and the elders need to recognize that the millennials have some vision and some insight that we can't quite grasp just yet. God is pouring His Spirit out upon. Praise God. My point is this. God is working at every level of society. God is working in every age group, from the smallest child to the oldest elder. God is dealing with every culture group. God is reaching out to a lost and dying world, because pretty soon, these signs in the heavens and in on the earth, they're going to start happening. And people are going to be looking for answers. And we better be where the Holy Ghost is being poured out. Let's stand. Somebody ask me one more time. This means we're still in the Holy Ghost age. This means that this, what we're about to experience here at this altar, people praying for the Holy Ghost, people being touched by God, people seeking healing, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Praise God. This means that the Holy Ghost is still being poured out, and that it's being poured out here tonight. Praise God. What does this mean? This means that if you're in the church, you should be involved in one of these areas where God is doing a work. What does this mean? This means that God wants to use you like He's never used a generation or a people before. What does this mean? This means that if you're here tonight, you can have this Holy Ghost experience before you leave. Praise God. Because He has poured out His Spirit upon all flesh. No matter what your cultural background, no matter what your financial situation, no matter your educational level, rich, poor, educated, God has a place for you in His kingdom, and He's still pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you want a new life, if there's some things that you know are not pleasing to God, if there's some things in your life that you want to change and never go back to, praise God. I want you to come down and ask God to help you. He can fill you with the Holy Ghost. You can repent from sin. You can prepare yourself to be baptized in Jesus' name. Come down on this side and pray and ask God for the Holy Ghost. Ask Him to forgive you for your sins, and He will meet with you because He has poured out His Spirit upon all flesh. Praise God. If you need healing tonight, if you need a touch from God in your body, come on down on this side, and we'll pray for healing. We believe that the Holy Spirit is still healing, that the power of God is able to perform miracles. We heard about Brother Joe Thorpe. Praise God. There are more. There are testimonies right here in this place of people who have been healed of sickness that there was no other answer for. Praise God. If you're struggling with something tonight and you don't have an answer, you don't know what direction to go, God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. Whatever your need is, He cares about you. He cares about your hurt. He cares about your loss. He cares about your fears and your doubts. Come right down into the center, and He will minister to you. The Holy Ghost is here. This is that which was spoken of by the Apostle Peter. This is that which was spoken of by the Prophet Joel. God is pouring out His Spirit upon everyone in this place.